This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Hello, 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 good listeners. This is Station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin, from the land of beautiful lakes. It's Monday, December the 7th, 1942. We've got Lou Martin standing by with the Butler Shipbuilders 6 o'clock news and the latest war news, plus special observances on this anniversary of the Japanese sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. And after that, why, we've got the swinging hits from the big bands. First, let's turn our attention to the Walter Butler Shipbuilders 5 o'clock news with Lou Martin. Butler Shipyards, launching the Anthony Enright today through work, fight, and sacrifice. Good day to you, Lou.
And to you, Jack, and good listeners. We'll have the latest news from the warfront. But first, bulletins are coming over the United Press wire that Governor-elect Orlin Loomis could be near death. The superintendent of Wisconsin's General Hospital in Madison, Dr. Meade Burke, says that Mr. Loomis's condition is grave. Winning the election over the incumbent Julius Heil just a month ago, he was taken to the hospital early Saturday morning after suffering a heart attack. Governor-elect Loomis appeared to be rebounding Saturday morning when his blood pressure returned to normal. But on Sunday, the 49-year-old suffered another heart attack. Dr. Meade says Mr. Loomis rallied again this morning, only to have another heart attack at 11 a.m. Now attending physician Margaret Nielsen says that he has only a fighting chance. Doctors are administering glucose and oxygen, and his wife and children are by his side. Lieutenant Governor-elect Walter Goodland is expected to become governor if Mr. Loomis is unable. Republican incumbent Governor Heil says he may extend his term since Mr. Loomis or Mr. Goodland haven't yet been sworn in. He says the state constitution says the lieutenant governor can only take over for a sitting governor who has taken the oath of office. Allied commanders in the North African campaign met at a farmhouse by candlelight last night outside of Matur to plan for the final phase of the battle for Tunisia. The battle for French North Africa has been going well as we enter the second month of this offensive. We have this shortwave radio recording recorded today by the Mutual Broadcasting System from correspondent Russell C. Landstrom with the Allied forces in central Tunisia.
Allied commanders were reported Monday to have laid plans for the final phase of the Tunisian campaign at a candlelight conference in a farmhouse kitchen late Sunday, while heavy fighting raged on in the Tetourba Matur sectors. A writer's dispatch from the battlefront told of the conference. Heights dominating Tetourba Strategic Communications Center, 20 miles west of Tunis, are securely held by Allied troops, the Morocco radio said in a broadcast recorded from London. A Reuters correspondent with the British First Army reported in a frontline dispatch that British commandos and parachutists landed 3 days ago along the coast behind the German lines, fought their way inland 7 miles to the south and cut a road. The exact location of this action was not given. With the Allied forces in central Tunisia, this is Russell C. Landstrom reporting.
This bulletin just into us from the United Press. Allied artillery is reported laying down a heavy barrage on German tank formations, which are attacking United States and British positions in the Tetourba Matur sector. In other war news this evening, the United States is marking 1 year of war by surviving many dark months and several defeats to now having the Axis powers on the defense in the Pacific and North Africa. Still, many experts agree that the final victory over Germany and Japan is many months, if not years, away. The strategy now is to concentrate our efforts on defeating Hitler and freeing Nazi-occupied Europe, while holding the Japanese in check, if not slowly pushing them back toward Tokyo. The hope is that by the time we're observing the second anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, we'll be celebrating victory over Germany. It took three major naval battles to get the Japanese to start retreating. the Battle of the Coral Sea in May, the Battle of Midway in June, and last month's battle over the Solomon Islands at Guadalcanal. Walter Butler Shipyard News, time is now 6:05. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
A dedication to those gallant heroes of the Merchant Marine, the Army, and the Navy, it is entirely fitting that on this occasion, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, we dedicate this ship, the Anthony Enright, to the memory of those brave men who have given their lives in this struggle. We will honor and remember the men and women who have already died in this fight and give thanks to God for this nation's survival in the unprovoked attack of the ruthless enemy. That this nation, under the cry of Remember Pearl Harbor, will work, fight, and sacrifice. That's Walter Butler Shipbuilders, Incorporated, in Superior, Wisconsin. Work, fight, and sacrifice. And remember, keep buying the war bonds.
Recruiting stations across Wisconsin will no longer take voluntary enlistments. The order came from Washington through the Milwaukee office that only applications taken by December the 5th will be forwarded. No reason was given to stop taking enlistments. In just 10 minutes, a trainload of Ashland County men will be leaving Ashland for Fort Sheridan to be inducted into the U.S. Army. Leading the crew from Ashland is Roy Flynn. The boys from Mellon are led by Robert Bidgood. Roy Bloomquist leads the Highbridge contingency. Andy Moore from Odena and Glidden's group is captained by Clifford Singer. All of this is fitting on this year's observance of Pearl Harbor. In Superior and all around the nation, people pause to pray. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Well, amid a world at war, Superior paused at 1:30 to remember those who died at Pearl Harbor in the Japanese sneak attack 1 year ago. At that moment, marking the first anniversary of Pearl Harbor, workers in Superior shipyards, clerks and stores, students in all city schools, and all residents of the city joined in 30 seconds of silent prayer for those who were killed. Following this, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag was recited by thousands of voices throughout the city. In observance of the day which will live in infamy, flags at city schools and other public buildings were flown at half staff. The Superior Association of Commerce, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the American Legion cooperated in notifying the public of events of the Pearl Harbor Day observances. Whistles blew for a few seconds today, marking the hour at 1:30 p.m. when the silent prayers began and citizens rededicated themselves to avenge the attack on this nation. In carrying out the theme Remember Pearl Harbor, the Butler Shipyard and Globe Shipyards concluded ship launchings today. As part of the observances, Globe Shipyard signed pledges binding themselves to step up production to the limit of the ships so vital to victory. At the Butler launching, His Excellency the Most Reverend William O'Connor, Bishop of the Superior Diocese, opened the program, and the Reverend J. George Senti, pastor of Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church, also spoke. In city schools, all students joined in the Pledge of Allegiance following the briefest moment of prayer at 1:30. A large poster about 4 by 8 feet commemorating Pearl Harbor was placed in the council chambers on the third floor of City Hall. Quite a moving day today, Lou.
And flash this just in. Governor Orlin Loomis suffered another heart attack at 2:15 this afternoon. Dr. Meade Burke at Wisconsin General Hospital calls his condition very critical. Crowded rush hour loads have the Duluth Superior Bus Company asking the State Public Service Commission to end the student discount time an hour earlier. Right now, students can ride until 5 o'clock for a nickel. The bus company would like to see the discount time end at 4 o'clock, when the rush of workers to vital industries peaks. After that, students will have to pay the full price of a dime. Farmers who don't meet their crop quotas next year will be penalized by the federal government and get a smaller subsidy. Agriculture Adjustment Agency Douglas County Chairman Floyd Carlson says the AAA requires each and every farmer to meet war production quotas or lose subsidies. The Bayfield County Salvage Headquarters moved today from Iron River to Washburn. Huge scrap piles in Iron River makes the move necessary, according to the county salvage manager, Oscar Palm. this isn't the first time that Bayfield County has had to move its site. The first one was in Grandview, where 170 tons of scrap was piled high. Our last news item today, Jack, is from Barron County. The city of Barron wants dog owners to keep them tied up during Friday's blackout drill. The blackout will start at 9 p.m. and end at 9:45. Now, this is for the safety of the air raid wardens that are patrolling the city of Barron.
Don't want old Spot to take a piece of an air raid warden's trousers, eh, Lou?
Well, this time of the year, it's pitch blackout, and it's no fun to hear some growling that's coming your way.
Barron, huh? Hey, that's the same town that had a blackout drill last December. And the warden wrecked his car because he was driving around without his lights on. Friday from 9 to 9:45 may be a good time to stay out of Barron, folks.
An important safety tip from Jack McKenna.
Thanks, Lou. That's KUWS Radio newsman Lou Martin with our 6 o'clock news for this Monday, December the 7th, 1942. The United States Weather Bureau in Duluth says the temperature will get a little warmer tonight and tomorrow. Last night's low was 3 degrees in Superior. But tonight we should stay around, 9 or 10 above, with a high tomorrow around 20 degrees. Not bad for December, good listeners. On this one-year anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, what is more fitting than a tribute from Captain Glenn Miller, who is entering the service of our country right now? This is String of Pearls on the voice from the head of the lake station, KUWS. Love that tune, and it's so popular these days, too. Glenn Miller and his orchestra, good listeners, and String of Pearls on station KUWS. Friends, there's a new place opening up in town. On Wednesday, Malloy's Tavern will have its grand opening. Malloy's will be serving lunch and refreshments. A great place to stop in and meet the gang. That's Wednesday at Malloy's Tavern, 1828 Iowa Avenue in Superior. And Lou Martin is here with a very special guest.
Indeed, Jack. It's our honor to present the Most Reverend Bishop William O'Connor of the Superior Catholic Diocese.
Oh, you're so kind. And let's drop all the titles, Lou. These terrible days I prefer to be called Father Bill.
That's what the doughboys called you in France during the First World War.
Aye, it is, Lou, it is. And I've seen the horrors of war firsthand. The suffering, the sacrifice, the bravery of our young lads. That's what makes tomorrow so special in our faith right now, Jack, my son.
I'll be there, Father.
This is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We'll have solemn prayers for victory and protection for our fighting forces. Through Mary the Immaculate, patroness of our armed forces, as well as the country as a whole, it is fitting that we ask for intercedence with her divine Son on this National Day of Prayer. We need to continually ask for divine guidance in carrying the burden of war.
Thank you, Bishop William O'Connor.
And like I said, Lou, it's Father Bill. And Jack, Cathedral of Christ the King will be holding masses starting at 5:45 tomorrow morning. Providing you're not hanging out at places like Malloy's Tavern.
Me? Oh, Bishop. And they don't open until Wednesday anyway. You know, Father Bill, I kind of like that later mass at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I know, Jack, my son. Rising and shining has never been your strong suit. Good night, Hall. And God bless America in her time of need.
Amen to that, Father Bill. Here's a little number I hope you'll enjoy. I know you're a big fan. This is By the Light of the Silvery Moon by Ray Noble and his orchestra with Snooky Lanson on the vocal.
By the light.
Oh, by the light.
To my honey I'll croon love's tune. Honeymoon,
honeymoon,
keep a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon. By the light of that silvery moon, I want to spoon to my honey baby. I'll croon love's tune. Honeymoon, keep on a shining in June. Your silvery beams bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon.
Father Bill, Bishop O'Connor, good listeners. He likes that band, Ray Noble. On the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Lou, you know what December 7th, 1942, has in common with last year on this date? Besides the attack on Pearl Harbor, that is.
You're wearing the same shirt.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Not the same socks, I hope.
Well, maybe, but that's not what I mean. Lou, it's so busy today, so many people have things they need to get off their chest.
Well, right you are. That brings us to our next guest, Mr. H.L. Mankey. Good evening, sir.
I'll sit here, right here.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Mankey. You're here to talk about creating a public honor roll for our men in the service.
Yes, I would like to make a suggestion to remember our boys as we are today remembering Pearl Harbor. My idea is to paint a large outside wall area of some building in the form of a scroll or shield, having a white background, and then paint in columns the names of all of those who have enrolled in the service from Superior. It might even include the complete roster from Douglas County. And I suggest the south wall of the Roth Brothers building. I think Mr. Smith would donate the use of the space, and perhaps the American Legion or the VFW would sponsor the idea. It's quite possible some of our sign painters would contribute their time if some others contributed the materials, and the project thus be completed at little, if any, cost. You know, as more men depart to serve their country, their names would be added, and we would have before us at all times a reminder that hundreds of our boys are offering their lives for our freedom. For those who make the supreme sacrifice, a gold star would be placed before their names. If any organization is interested, I would be only too glad to offer further suggestions, Mr. Martin.
Mr. H.L. Mankey of Superior with his thoughts on this first anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Thank you, sir.
We must do what we can do. This we must do, if we can. Do it, I mean.
Yes, of course.
That's my cue, folks. Let's show Hitler and Tojo that we're not going to be moping around. To the contrary, as Mr. Mankey says, we must can. If we can do, if we must. You know what I mean?
Well, that's close enough, I guess, Jack.
Probably best that way. Here's Vera Lynn now and the White Cliffs of Dover on the voice from the Head of the Lakes, you know, station KUWS.
I'll never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. For when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. The sentimental sounds of Vera Lynn, England's favorite chanteuse, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. This is a special message from Twin Ports merchants on the one-year anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Thing I remember, we never did finish our coffee. We were talking about getting a new car, then Betty left the table to turn on the symphony, and there it was. Like so many others, I figured it would be a short war. Did a lot of bragging at first about how we'd have bracelets on Tojo in 6 months. We even hoped to go to Mexico this winter, but, well, you know the rest of the story. Bataan, Corregidor. In June, our vacation fund followed the new car money into war bonds. I took the Air Warden's course, and here we are. I guess we Americans have changed quite a bit in the past year. Just how and how deeply, let's leave that to the historians. I'm thinking about only one thing now, the same thing you are, and I feel better, calmer, stronger for it. Inside, all I want to do is help, and help some more. There's been a little too much beating around a bush, too much unnecessary worrying about our morale and that sort of thing, too much thought about sparing our feelings, sugarcoating the bitter taste of a big job we're up against. Let's skip that for now, on out. Americans don't need anyone to play nursemaid to them. This isn't a kid's war. Just give us the facts, the whole story. Tell us what's needed. Tell us how we can help. If it's going to take the car out of the garage, or stake off our dinner table, or 2 weeks' pay every month, or our spare pair of shoes, fine. Just say so.
That message provided to you by the Pickwick Bar and Grill, Russell's Milk and Ice Cream, Siegel Brothers, Trade Home Shoes, Henry B. Evans Insurance Company, the First National Bank of Superior, Interlake Iron Corporation of Duluth, Sazner's Menswear, and Holden's Tire and Battery Service, urging everyone to contribute all out in this war effort. Now, good listeners, let's honor the men and women who lost their lives 1 year ago today at Pearl Harbor. This is Kay Kaiser, and remember, Pearl Harbor on the Voice from the Head of the Lake, station KUWS.
History in every century records an act that lives forevermore. We'll recall, as into line we fall, the thing that happened on Hawaii shore. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Remember Pearl Harbor by Kay Kaiser and his band? That's just what we're doing today, folks. We are remembering Pearl Harbor. You know, Lou, as long as I live, I'll never forget a year ago today. We had no idea that it would happen, or this long, hard fight we're in now, both in the Pacific and Europe.
No idea at all. Remember the people coming in and out of the station, trying to make sense out of the attack?
Or even trying to figure out where Pearl Harbor was.
And so many of our young men and women have left for the service. We know they're seeing action right now in North Africa, Guadalcanal, and New Guinea.
And others are working long hours right here at home, building ships, saving scrap and rubber, and eating spam. Can't forget that.
That's real sacrifice.
Well, I kind of like it, you know.
Well, anything out of a can is fine with you, Jack. You don't even know when you're making a sacrifice.
Better that way, Lou. It's time to sign off now. Next up is Fred Waring, followed by News of the World. Then at 6:45, it's Hedda Hopper. At 7 o'clock, Amos and Andy are on the air, followed by Radio Theater, and then Kaltenborn edits the news. As the saying goes, friends, we've done it before, and we can do it again. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Good night to you all.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances provided by Peter Nordgren, Tom Martinson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.